Last week's message was entitled, Being Powerless. Today's message is entitled, Finding Help, an Important Thing. Last week, you heard about this. You heard about the futility of trying to be good by avoiding what seems bad to us or by doing what seems good to us. There's a futility in that. It doesn't get you any place. And you heard about the futility of trying to become better by learning to make better choices. We don't know which way we're supposed to go. And so we just try to make better choices. We end up like Ben Franklin. You remember the thing that Ben Franklin tried to do? And you learn that even though our intentions are good, we just don't have the ability to do the things that are good in the eyes of a holy, righteous, and just God. We learned that last week. We learned that the power, that is the ability to do what God desires, doesn't come from us. That power comes from God. And you learn that it's when we put ourselves, our whole being, into the hands of God, that's when we find redemption and goodness and direction and correction and peace and spiritual maturity. When we put our whole selves, when we entrust ourself to God and rest in His hand. Last week's text read like this, and I'm going to remind you what it said. This is from Romans 7. Verse 18, it says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. It's Romans 7, verse 18. This morning's text, which is the basis for the message, Finding Help, says this, For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. You see, God has a solution to the problem that we looked at last week. God is the solution to the problem that we talked about last week. So, it's very important for you to notice that this morning's text starts with God. It doesn't start with us. It says, For God is working in you. Starts with God. You know, it was never God's plan for us to do it on our own. It was always God's plan that He would be our strength, that He would be our help, and that He would be our hope. Ezekiel 26, this is verse 26 and 27, it says this, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will be able to follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. I'm going to read that passage again. And I want you to notice the eyes. The eyes in that passage are God. God is speaking about what He will do. It's not us. It's God. Now listen, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. That's God. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart and I will put my spirit in you. And here's the purpose. So that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. See, God knows exactly what we need. And God says, I've got the solution and I will do it for you. All right? Our text says this, For God is working in you. Boy, that's comforting to know, isn't it? When we try to do these things ourselves, we always come up short. Because we come before God and we bring all these good things that we did. God, look at my righteous works. Aren't these great? And what does God say? You, get those filthy rags out of here. That's what God says. We looked at that last week. We don't have to go through that again. See, that's what God meant when He says, I will be their God and they will be my people. That's God at work in His people, in us. But it does get to you eventually. That little verse, it says, For God is working in you. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, what does that mean exactly? God is working in me. What does that mean? Well, I can tell you this. It's more than saying God loves you. Because that's kind of external, isn't it? All right? It's more than that. It's more than God saying, I will be with you. That's external too. George and I can walk down the aisle together. We're walking together. But it's not what God's talking about here. You know, Jesus gave us a hint when he was talking to Nicodemus. He said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is God. And what he meant was that the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, would be involved in every aspect of your life. Every thought, every word, and every action. The Holy Spirit is in you, working his will, giving you his direction, filling you with his power. He is in you, involved in everything you do and are. Think about that. Every thought, every word, every action done in the presence and the power of God. It means that the presence of God himself fills you from your heart. You know, we always say that. We always say, you know, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. But he didn't stop there. From your heart to your feet to your hands. It has to do with your faith. It has to do with your walk. It has to do with your service. All right? That's what he's talking about. God is at work in you. Galatians 5:25 says this, if we live by the Spirit, right? We're born again by the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. He says, if we live by the Spirit, then let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's live our lives by the Spirit's power, by the Spirit's direction. I think it was the Old Living Bible. You know the old green Living Bible that came out about in the middle of the 60s, I guess. That verse read like this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Every step we take in life, we take because the Holy Spirit has led us to do that. That's what that verse is talking about. So I ask you this question. Now you got to make these things personal. The Bible is not theoretical. It's not something that just is like a theology text. It's practical. It has to do with you personally. So we've got to take this stuff, we've got to bring it down and make it personal. So the question is the Holy Spirit at work in you? The verse said, for God is working in you. Well, is that verse true? Is that what you're experiencing in your life? You know, some people might say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure if I know the answer to that. I'm not sure if the Holy Spirit's at work in me or not. I'm not sure that I can trust that. Let me give you a verse here that'll help you. This is in Romans 8, verse 9. It says this, talking to the church. This is a letter that was written to the church in Rome, so it's written to believers. He says, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. In other words, the Spirit of God isn't going to be in you and do nothing. The Spirit of God is going to fill you and then be your help, be your guide, be your strength. He comes alongside to do those things. So Paul tells them, now be confident in this. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, he will be at work in you. Okay? But that's not the end of the verse. And he says, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. He's saying there aren't two different kinds of Christians. Those who have the Spirit in them and those who don't. He says there's only one kind of Christian. Every Christian has the Spirit of God at work in them. That's how you're born again. All right, so the question really is, do you belong to Christ? Have you come to a point of faith where you've entrusted your life to Christ? Because I can guarantee you this, you'd never have come to that point if the Holy Spirit wasn't working in you. See, it's not in the natural man to do that. We've been over that ground. We went over it last week. The flesh doesn't lead us toward God. The Spirit of God leads us toward God. We're born again by the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. So what this is affirming to us, I mean, it's kind of written in a negative way, but the positive side is, if you belong to Christ, you know that the Spirit of Christ is in you, that the Holy Spirit of God is in you. Our text says that God is working in you. Okay? So God is working in you. What's He doing? What is He doing? Well, first of all, He's changing your want to. We talked about the things that, you know, seem good to us and things that we want to do, you know, and the desires that we have that we're unable to do. God changes our want to. And I think those of you who've walked with the Lord for any period of time can attest to that. We have different ways of looking at things. This verse, the text that I read to you, says God is working in you, giving you the desire. Now we've got desires that don't come from the flesh, but we've got desires that come from God. He's at work in us, giving us something that's new and different in our life. The Christian, first of all, gets a new heart attitude. It's a new way of thinking about God. It's a new way of thinking about other people. It's a new way of, a new philosophy, if you want to use that word. Okay, that's a godly one. And not some vain philosophy, but godly philosophy gives you a new heart attitude. You just approach everything in a different way. You get a new set of priorities. The things that used to seem so important aren't necessarily important at all. You go, why in the world did I worry about that? But there are other things that we always discounted and considered of no great value that suddenly have become the most precious things in the world. You get a new set of priorities. You get a new worldview. You get a new way of looking at other people and looking at life. You get a new sense of values. God is working in you, giving you the desire. God changes our want to. Here's some examples. Not my will, but yours. Not my way, but God's way. Not what benefits me, but what glorifies Christ. Not what pleases me, but what honors God. That's a new way of thinking, isn't it? That's a new way of approaching life. See, our relationship with God is not an aspect of our life. It is the core of who we are. When we're born again, when God is at work in our lives, that's not just an add-on. That's not a 1 hour a week thing. That's a thing that changes who we are. It becomes the essence of who we are. I was thinking about church. You know, there was a time in my life when going to church was an activity that I kind of squeezed in to all the other things in my busy life. Being involved in any kind of ministry was just something, well, if I had time, you know, okay, I'd do that. Because it seemed like a good thing to do. See, when you really come to Christ, when you really entrust your life to Him, when God begins to work in your life through His indwelling Holy Spirit, see, that all changes. You become the church. Right? It's not someplace you go like you go to Walmart and then I got to go out to the church. It's different from that. You are the church, whether we're gathered or whether we're not. Right? Worshiping and serving Christ is your life. Does that make sense? Romans 12:1 says this, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And then it goes on and it says, this is your spiritual act of worship. One of the translations said, this is your reasonable service. It makes sense to do that. You know, God is for you. He's not against you. You give yourself to God, you're going to a place of safety. You're going to a place of blessing. Right? That's where you want to be. See, when God starts working in your heart, when God starts working in your life, it's like the scales fall away and you begin to see that. Things that were not so important before suddenly just become the most important thing. The greatest motivation in your life. So God is working in you, giving you the desire. Well, the desire to do what? Again, I didn't read the whole verse. The desire to do what pleases Him. God is at work in you, giving you the desire to do what pleases Him. Say, this is what I want to do. That's changing your want to's, isn't it? The indwelling Spirit of God then becomes our motivator as well as our enabler. He's the one that gives us the desire, and then He's the one that gives us the ability to do it. You know, last week we learned that desire and action aren't the same thing. That passage that we read said, I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Having a desire to do something and being able to do that thing are not necessarily the same. We learned that the natural man has some good desires, but he doesn't have the ability to do those things. Now, this is a little different what we're talking about today. Because now we're talking about a God-implanted desire. Not something that comes out of our flesh. We're not talking about the desires of our flesh. We're talking about the desire to do what pleases God. Different thing. So we're operating on the basis of a new heart attitude. We have a new heart attitude, and we have a new set of want-tos. And then there's more to our text. It says, for God is working in you, giving the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. We move from want to can do. All right, we want to get to the can do. We want to be able to do what pleases God. Y'all remember the days after Ivan came through? You know, I'd go around the house and you just do things out of habit. I'd flip switches. No lights came on. I could sit and look at the TV, but there was no picture. I could turn on the water faucet, but no water came out because the pump was off. Problem was, the power was out, right? Nothing worked. Well, the biggest problem that we have is that we live in a constant spiritual power outage. Real ministry, real Christian life, really, for that matter, is outside of the reach of our ability. If we just have ourselves, if it's just you and me in the flesh trying to please God, we always fall short. We just don't have the power source. We're not plugged in to the generator. You understand the analogy there? We don't make our own electrical power. Now, some of you have generators like WA runs around with generators and plugs into things. But generally speaking, we don't make our own power. I don't have a generator. The power goes out, I got no power. All right? But the same with spiritual power. We don't make our own. It comes to us from the Lord. Here are some verses just to remember. Ephesians 6:10 says this, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Be strong. But be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You see, it's when we realize that we don't have the ability and we call upon God. That's when His power begins to flow through us. As long as we feel self-sufficient, then God's power isn't going to be there for us. This is Paul. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Let go and let God. See, that's what we got to do. We got to quit trying to do. We got to let God have the reign in our life. Now, Philippians 4:13, probably you've seen that. This is one of Tim Tebow's verses. Put on his little things under his eyes there. I can do all things. Is that it? I can't do all things, can I? I can't do all things. Even the things that I know are good and right to do, I can't do them. The Bible tells me so. My experience tells me so too. I can't do those things. Tim Tebow can't do those things either. You got to have the whole picture, don't you? I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, who gives me the strength. You take Christ out of that picture. Jesus put it this way. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Stay connected to me, you're going to bear a lot of fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. He was talking about anything that relates to the kingdom of God. You can't produce fruit for the kingdom in yourself. It's through Christ. It's only through God that you become able to do these things. The whole verse, you remember, is this. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. You see, it's all God's working. And God is working in you because He's a gracious and a good and a loving God. And He wants you to be able to do those things that please Him. Just in closing, let me say these things. We need to remember that we're not God. We are not God. And then we need to stop trying to do things that only God can do. Let go. Let God. We got to stop trying to do things that only God can do, like make ourselves righteous. What's that lead to? Self-righteousness. Doesn't lead to true righteousness. We need to let go of striving and struggling, and then we need to take that energy and invest it into worship. How's that for an idea and a hint? All right? Take the energy that we've been wasting trying to make ourselves good and invest it into worship. You know, we sit around and we plot and we plan and we worry. How much energy do we burn up worrying about things? Let's take all of that energy and let's invest it in prayer. You know what? We can't do anything, but God can do whatever He pleases. He's the one who's able, not us. And so instead of planning and plotting and worrying about things, take that energy and invest it in prayer. Take that time and invest it in prayer. I think the Scripture teaches us to do that. We look in the right places. We need to learn to rest in the hand of God. You know, look on the cover of your bulletin, and you got a picture there of that tree that we are supposed to be, planted by the water, resting in the hand of God. We need to grow, but that's where it's going to take place. It's not going to take place somewhere else. We got to take our lives, and we've got to entrust ourselves to God. Let Him work in us. Let Him make us what He wants us to be. Let's pray. Holy Father, we acknowledge that you are God. We repent and we ask forgiveness for the times we have fallen prey to pride and self-sufficiency. We pray, Lord, that you'd work in us. Work in us today. Teach us your will for us. And Lord, give us the power to live it out. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.